everybody. Welcome to We Like Dota. This is We Like Dota, the casual Dota podcast for the rest of us. I'm Brian Sabone-Yinger, and I'm joined this evening by Jared Clyde Frog Pedersen. How you doing, Jared?
Hey, Brian. I'm doing great. How are you this evening?
Great. How's your corgi doing?
Fine. I mean, it's cold out, so he's not exactly crazy about it, but I mean, okay. He likes it.
That's good.
Yeah.
Gilmore likes the snow?
Yeah, he loves the snow.
Oh, yeah. That's a dog thing.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, Jared, we have a special guest tonight.
I saw him.
Yes. Ben Yadneb Day. How you doing, Ben?
I'm good, guys. Thanks for having me.
Ben is our resident plushie expert.
Yes.
And also the most experienced player on our team.
That is true.
And I say team with air quotes because we played one match.
Well, we played three matches, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Well, because we technically qualified on Dota Buff. You have to play three matches.
Okay.
And since then, we've been inactivated because we haven't played in a month and a half.
So we qualified for inactive.
Right. And that's how I found out that we were like 2,500 and top 2,600, technically. We were like 2,573 in North America.
Road to TI4, baby.
Can I be honest that as the professional Dota player on our team, I don't think that's what that number means.
I think it is.
I don't think it is.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it totally is.
Yeah, great.
We'll go with that.
But yeah, Ben is, what do you usually do on our team, Ben? You usually play the offlane roles?
Yeah, I try my best not to die.
Correct.
And so my goal when we go into a game is to die the least.
Right.
Out of any member on our team. And I'm generally pretty successful at that.
You're pretty good at that.
That is true. Yeah. That is true.
Yeah. So welcome to We Like Dota, everyone. We have poured some drinks.
Absolutely.
You know, to be family friendly here, we are over 21.
You're just going to say that right there.
We are...
I'm drinking Gatorade now, though.
Gatorade, correct.
Yes.
It's good to be here. Let's talk about some of the news of the week, boys.
Okay.
So Jared, one of our favorite casters, Zayori,
yeah. Okay.
is now an official member of Beyond the Summit.
Interesting.
He's going to be moving to LA.
Really?
Living in the Beyond the Summit house.
They have a house.
Sounds terrifying.
Is it a cult?
Probably.
Honestly?
Probably.
Kind of sounds like it.
I think the studio is their house.
Okay. See, that I would do. That I would do.
Right. Except you're married and you have a baby on the way.
Still would do it.
He's going to Beyond the Summit, and it seems like Star Ladder was a bit of a trial run for him.
Yeah, which I think that he did great in his trial run.
I would agree.
I watched probably of the 28 days, I think there were, that they did the round robin.
Yeah.
I watched probably 20
All
of them.
Of it?
20 of them, probably.
Okay, fair.
And I really enjoyed him. He was always fun.
Yeah,
he could do both solo casting and with somebody. So
correct.
I think he grew a lot from the beginning of it to the end, and good for him.
Yeah, totally. There's still a little bit of room to grow, which is fine
with anybody.
A lot,
except us.
I was really disappointed on Reddit. God bless Reddit, by the way. I don't want to piss off Reddit, but on Reddit, the number one comment in the thread talking about him joining Beyond the Summit was some dude asking where Luminous was.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Leave Luminous out.
He casted with AC during TI3.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess Lumi has left to pursue other things.
Right.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Retired from Dota completely.
But people have compared Zayori to AC, where he brings this kind of radio-style broadcasting and commentary to the table, which you and I are big fans of.
Absolutely. I appreciate his voice because I think that it's damn sexy.
I would agree.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think that it's fun to listen to. I think that he has a lot of tone and color in his voice.
Correct.
But he's not arrogant about it.
Right.
Like, he doesn't talk like this all the time. We all can talk like this and just be on the radio, but he doesn't really do that all the time.
Correct.
So he just, it's natural for him.
Right. I'm a big fan of it.
Oh, absolutely.
And he plays great music during the breaks.
And he retweets me. So
That's
always good.
Right. Plays Tetris, reads Limp Bizkit lyrics, and plays the Allman Brothers.
Right.
What's not to like about that?
Seriously.
Jack of all trades, right. That's happening, and I'm really excited for him.
Yeah, no, I am too.
It'll be great. He's probably become one of my favorite casters.
I think very quickly, yes. I hope that he has a chance to at least some of the stuff in TI3.
Correct. Yeah, that TI4.
TI17.
We've had TI20.
Whichever TI he might want to
do. Yeah.
Correct.
TI, the rapper.
So anyway, speaking of Star Ladder, spoiler alert, turn the podcast off if you haven't watched any of the VODs and you care about who the winner is. We'll give you 3 seconds to turn it off.
Navi.
Navi swept Alliance
in
the finals.
That was quite amazing.
Yeah.
I think it's amazing that Alliance made it to the final first off.
Right.
Because they were playing very poorly. They're showing at D2L.
Poor.
Poor to say, to be very kind, yeah. I think it was poor. And then after the D2L, they announced that the team was going to have major changes. And I was thinking maybe they were gonna replace Bulldog.
Yeah.
Or something. The major change was having Loda draft.
Right.
Which is crazy.
It's a big change. Yeah. It's a big change.
Bulldog tweeted that the major changes were he was going to learn...
A fifth hero. Which he did. It's Viper.
Yeah. Because he plays Nature's Prophet, Lone Druid, Bounty Hunter, and Timbersaw.
Timbersaw, which I think is his best hero, honestly.
Really?
I really do. Okay. His Timbersaw is really strong.
Because he was always known for Lone Druid.
But I think Lone Druid has fallen off pretty heavily in 6.79.
Yes.
Okay.
So.
That's fair.
Yeah.
So Loda's doing the drafting now.
Right.
Which you're not a fan of.
Well, he had good drafts to start, but when they got down in the finals, I think the biggest thing that he had going against him was that he reverted to like a 6.78 style.
Right.
And he was trying to force a gameplay that he knew worked.
Right.
Which was their, you know, winning game style from the International.
Yeah.
It just didn't work anymore.
Which was kind of a lot of split pushing and playing really solid and just capitalizing on other people's mistakes.
Right. And
kind of going for the economic
one. Almost going for a four core, like having the solo off laner. You have your mid laner, then your other lane, you know, your dual lane, but then you have somebody in the jungle dedicated.
Can we talk about what you mean by a four core for the new listeners?
Oh, absolutely. So when you talk about like a core in a lineup, those are the people that are going to be, you can call them carries or semi-carries. Mm-hmm. So the people that are dealing damage, the people that are really important to the team late in the game.
Right.
So that's why they're kind of the core.
It's where your damage comes from.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So... You hear that referred to a lot as a greedy lineup, having like a three or four core lineup.
Right.
Because we talk a lot, like when we're talking about pub play, the five-man carries.
Correct.
And it can work. No, it can't.
Pudge, Ricky, Beastmaster, or not Beastmaster.
Bloodseeker.
Ricky, and Phantom Lancer.
Right. Three Rickies. Pudge. Three Rickies, Pudge, and... Phantom Lancer.
Right.
Yeah. It works.
Yeah.
No, but...
I think it's worth noting that they at least got to the semifinals, though.
Well, no, they got to the finals.
To the finals.
They lost to Na'Vi.
They got second.
Yeah, they got second.
They got steamrolled.
They really did.
They lost, what, 3-1?
3-1 with a one-game advantage going in. So they got swept.
Right. But, you know, they hadn't been doing that in the past, so...
No, it's true. It's a better showing than they had... at the last three or four tournaments.
Right.
Which is good.
Yeah.
An improvement. And I think they had S4 still calling the plays during.
Yeah.
Which was really smart. Yeah. I think disseminating that kind of responsibilities.
Yeah.
Not having the same person both do the drafting and call plays.
Yeah.
I think that's really good.
That feels like a lot of responsibility, a lot of burden for one person.
Right.
Yeah.
I think having those two people communicating beforehand would be good.
Great.
But.
Yeah. You know, whatever. Yeah. So Na'Vi won the Star Ladder. I think they've won quite a few Star Ladders in the past.
Well, this is the eighth one.
Yeah. Which is crazy.
That is pretty crazy.
I'm pulling up the Team Liquid page here.
Oh. We're going to do some real live stat looking at right now.
Right.
Yes.
That's a thing.
Right. So Navi got first place, bringing home $62,000.
U.S.
U.S. Mm-hmm. Alliance got second place, $31,000. Sigma got $18,000 in third place.
Right, and Fnatic got their $15,000.
$12,000.
They have said that they now are cursed no longer. They used to say that they were cursed not being able to get to finals.
Yes.
Now they're cursed not being able to win more than $15,000 at any one thing. Because, like, the one, D2L, they got second place.
With two stand-ins,
which was amazing.
Yes. At Starladder, I don't think they had any stand-ins.
They did not. And they did not look as good.
Yeah.
Just saying, they did it.
Yeah.
They did it.
No, I totally agree. Yeah, so that's kind of the breakdown, and that's kind of how that all sorted out.
Yeah, so Starladder.
Starladder, baby.
So we'll see you again in, what, 3 months? Does it start again? I don't know,
something like that.
It's nuts.
There's a bit of a lull right now, which I think is fine.
Yeah.
Because
more people listen to us.
Right.
Yeah, because there's less content out there.
Correct.
Yeah.
You only listen to us when you're desperate.
Right, which is fine.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
Hey, Jared.
Hey, Brian.
So the Korean Dota 2 scene has just kind of picked up in the last couple months or so.
Mm-hmm.
And it is now recognized by KESPA, the Korean Esports Association.
Interesting. Tell me why that's important.
Well,
because I have no idea what KESPA is.
It's kind of like...
I know you just said the Korean Esports Association, but yeah, whatever.
It's kind of like the NBA or NFL of esports in Korea.
Okay.
And other games such as StarCraft 2.
League of Legends
are included in that as well.
Okay. So Dota is just now being officially recognized.
Correct.
Wow. Okay.
Correct.
With it, Korea.
Yeah. It's kind of a more, creates a more sustainable culture over there.
That's awesome, though.
And basically it just means it's more legit, essentially.
Right.
And
in one of the biggest gaming areas on Earth.
For sure.
Oh, yeah. Number one, for sure.
Yeah. So yeah. That is pretty huge.
But here's what's awesome. At least I think it's awesome. Korean Dota is at least a couple of years behind the rest of us.
Right. Well,
I think they'll catch up, but
probably very quickly.
Have you watched any of the Korean matches?
I watched some of the Zephyr and MVP.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I was very curious to see how Purge actually played in a pro area.
Yeah.
Which
he plays support.
Yeah.
He does what he's supposed to do.
Yeah. He doesn't die much.
Yeah.
Yeah. He plays a pretty mean visage.
But the games are really fun to watch.
They actually are.
Because it's all just like fight, 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 fight.
It's super aggressive.
Super entertaining. Aggressive,
yeah.
Yeah. So that whole thing happened.
Yeah.
So good for Korea. Good for them.
Good for you, Korea.
I have a question for Ben.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let's hear it.
Ben, do you think there will be any Korean teams at TI4?
As an expert in esports, I'm going to say no. And I actually don't know anything about esports. You guys know quite a bit more.
I'm going to ask Jared that same question.
An expert in Korean esports.
Yeah, and essentially an expert in Korean esports, especially. Yeah. No, I think it will be interesting. I think them being new to the scene, it seems like they could really bring some new strategies and everything to the Dota scene. But
yeah.
I think they'll probably have some catch-up to do. I don't think we're going to see anything this year in terms of anything big from them. But yeah, give it some time. You know, I think they'll be able to maybe pull out their own style, if you will, and really maybe make a dent at some point in time.
Yeah.
So they got to pull people away from League of Legends, too. That's a big thing over in Korea. So we'll have to see how that goes.
Well, all the foreign teams are the ones that are doing best in Korea right now.
Right. Specifically Zephyr.
Right. Jared, do you think there'll be any Korean teams at TI4?
Zephyr.
The International. Zephyr.
You think
they'll be invited?
Maybe. I mean,
I don't think there will be.
No, probably not. I don't know. There's 16 teams, correct? It's a 16?
I think so. You might be right then.
I think there's 16.
There could be a token invite then.
Yeah. Just because of the popularity of Purge.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I think that's really going to be something that they're going to look to potentially maybe bring viewers in with that.
I think it'd be a wise move on Valve's part to bring somebody in from Korea. That'd be very good.
I think if they're going to bring somebody, it would make sense to bring that team specifically because of the big names that they have on it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
But you never know. Are we going to discuss MAUs?
Oh, yeah. Big news. Yeah. Mouse Sports disbanded
their Dota
yesterday.
Team.
Their Dota team yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Which, so that's going to have some big names out there, too. So you never know what's going to happen.
Right.
There could be some pretty big shakeups coming.
That's true. Which they were kind of in their prime before TI3.
Right.
Because I remember when they showed up at
when they
TI3,
had Koikva and Kuroki and... Yeah.
And they just fell apart.
And
everyone
Black.
Was like, everyone was like, what's going on?
They had Black on that team, too, I think, at the same time.
Right.
And Syndrin.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Oh, yeah. That was...
I don't think that was at TI3, though, was it?
No, I think Koikva left before TI3.
Okay. Because he was with Dignitas?
I think.
Question mark?
I don't know.
Okay. Like I remember everyone being shocked that they didn't do as well as they did
right.
at TI3.
Yeah, but pretty big deal. They've had a lot of roster turnover in the past couple months.
Playing with a lot of stand-ins,
yeah.
a lot of turnover.
So it makes sense. I think that the team will be back eventually.
Yeah,
Just because Mouse Sports is such a big organization.
They're pretty well established. Yeah. I know that they have a StarCraft team. I'm not sure what else they have.
They have pretty much every big esport. They have one.
Okay.
I was looking on the website today, and it was, you know, they have one for CSGO. They have one for, I don't know, Farmville.
Yeah. Farmville, right. Farmville. I need you to water my crops.
Farmville esports.
So, yeah, I was kind of shocked that they disbanded, but also at the same time, not shocked.
Right.
So
I think they'll probably end up... Maybe with some Korean teams.
Sure, why not?
Because, like you said, that scene is just growing.
Yeah.
So I think if they get in...
I want the...
Who knows?
I want the North American scene to grow.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Which we're trying to help out.
Yeah, get on it, North America.
Come on, North America. What are you doing? Yeah. But anyway, so we wish Mouse Sports all the best.
Absolutely.
All the best.
Absolutely.
So anyway, Jared, we decided last week we're going to do a little bit of a new segment.
Well, why don't we hold off on that in just a second?
Okay.
Why don't we talk to Ben about why he's here tonight?
Okay, yeah, let's talk to Ben. Ben, why are you here?
Well, my understanding is I'm here because I was proclaimed by you guys to be the expert on plushies.
Right, you are.
I'm the expert on plushies, and I think the reason for that... is that I had some success with the plushie thing so far.
You had a ton of success.
I have. I've purchased 3 plushies.
Which, tell me what a plushie is, by the way.
So, yeah, a plushie is a little stuffed creature that represents some sort of a Dota character.
I've got Puck hanging off
of my desk
lamp.
We've got one in the room with us, which I just have to say, as a listener who's getting to visit the studio for the first time, this is an impressive setup.
It's very underwhelming.
No, it's great. You come in and you're like, these guys know what they're doing. This is fantastic. They've got mics and equipment and monitors. It's like a high-tech wonderland. And then you sit there for about 20 minutes and realize they have no clue. But it's great because they
have no idea what's going on.
They don't admit to knowing anything, so that's okay.
It's just like how we play Dota.
It's exactly how we play Dota.
We know everything about the game, but fail in execution.
Yeah. So it's a comfortable setting in terms of having the resources but really none of the ability to follow through
Correct.
With those. But yeah, in terms of the plushies, I have very little in terms of resources, but have apparently found a secret ability with that. And so I've purchased 3 plushies. And I think at this point in time, if I'm doing the math correctly, I'm somehow ahead something like $35.
Which is incredible.
So I've actually made money by buying.
They cost $10.
They cost about $10.
And so you buy them on the Valve Dota 2 store.
Right. And you get the stuffed creature. And then you also get a little card that has a code you can redeem on Steam for an item in Dota.
Right.
And so I ended up actually trading one of the items to Brian to get something I'd rather have. And he wanted something else that I had, so we did that.
I brought it up in a match that we cast.
Did you? Okay,
it's
great.
It's the sweet staff that Crystal Maiden
has.
There's
a cool staff, and then he's now got a special bear form.
Right, for Lone Druid.
Right.
The hero that has fallen off.
Right.
6.79.
Exactly. So I did that with, you know, one of the plushie items. My other plushie item I ended up selling for around $10.
Right.
So I really ended up breaking even with the cash minus shipping and handling, but ended up having I've got a Wind Ranger plushie. I've got a I actually have two faceless void plushies. So I haven't necessarily had success with the physical objects. But in terms of that, so we've got basically I'm breaking even at this point. I've got an item I really like. I've got an item I've sold that basically paid for my plushies. And right. then this last round of plushies, what I did was, and I figured out the key to this, is I actually ended up getting an item.
What do you mean the key to this? No, this is all luck of the draw, Ben.
No, I'm going to share the secret to making money on plushies. And okay. so I may write a book, so we'll get around to that at some point in time.
A but Kindle for now, single.
Yeah, this is going to, you know, if this secret works for you, then you'll never have to pay for a game on Steam ever again. Basically, you can just make Perfect. Money on plushies.
Great.
Okay. And so the secret is, so my most recent code, I must have entered incorrectly about four times. So I couldn't really figure out how to redeem that. So initially, I think I was trying to redeem it for, you know, I wasn't trying to redeem it as a product code. I was trying to redeem it as a friend or something. And it's like, that's not a real person. I don't know, but I must have done it a couple times. The last couple tries ended up, instead of, you know, the fourth digit in. So this is really where the key, I think, comes in. So you want to do it incorrectly as a friend request initially. And then the second...
This is the plushie expert,
this is
ladies
this
and gentlemen.
Is how you want to do this. The second and third time, you want to make sure that you replace the digit with something that's similar but wrong. So I think right. So I think my fourth digit was it O, and I put a zero for the first few times. Oh, okay,
typical mistake.
Yes, yeah, so, typical. Well, mistake. It's not embarrassing because this is the secret. This is what Valve doesn't want you to know. And then on the fourth try, you put it in correctly, and what happened to me is I got some kind of shoulders for Invoker that apparently are incredibly popular. I think because they're really standing about. You know, in terms of if Invoker was a real person, they're standing about 2 feet above Invoker's head.
Right. It's pretty obnoxious.
So when you're in game, those are intimidating shoulders. And so they give you an advantage over your opponent. And so
you look at those and go, there could be sun strikes anywhere.
Right. You don't know what's going to happen. You don't know if the shoulders themselves provide some sort of special ability or if they'll poke you in the eye. There might be a blind associated. I didn't really look into the mechanics because I don't play Invoker. But the key there is then I put that on the Steam Marketplace. Because if you didn't know, you can sell Steam items for Steam money, which then you can buy either more...
Their weird fake, space currency.
Yeah, the space currency. You can buy either, you know, more Steam stuff or more items or buy Steam games or just hoard it. If you just want to be the richest person on Steam, that's fine. You can do that. And so what I did with that is I sold that item. And so I sold these Steam shoulders for $40. Believe it or not. So
$40? Are you serious?
$40. So I spent $10 on an item. I have now a plushy version of Faceless Void that I probably will hang on my Christmas tree because that's what I did with the other
that's
two.
That's what
plushies.
I'm doing with mine. Yeah,
they're great ornaments. So you've got that going on. And then, sold that. So my takeaway, because Valve takes a cut, they realize that people like myself may figure out the secret. They want to make some money off of this too. And so I ended up, I was going to give you guys the exact to the penny amount.
I'm not sure what's more depressing, that you have a quote-unquote secret method that involves incorrectly entering letters into a product activation field, or the fact that you have a to the penny amount that you have come ahead on.
Yeah, they're both pretty exciting. I'll give you that. So my takeaway, my U.S. dollars in Steam money... which is kind of like a space buck, but still, I've got $34.15 in the positive there.
You could buy 34 Yule Scepter of Divinities for Crystal Maiden with that money.
Yeah, if that's the exchange rate, I haven't looked into the Scepter exchange rate, but if that's the case, I could buy 34.
They're 99 cents.
And the good thing is you can bet those items too. I don't know if you guys have even talked about. And maybe that's a can of worms we don't want to open up today.
We've hinted that we want to get into this.
But let's just say that there's more things you can do with these space bucks and these Dota items than just let them sit there so that they look pretty.
Yeah.
So that's my, you know, my advice to you guys. So again, one time incorrectly as a friend request, two times with the fourth digit being something similar but wrong. And then the fourth time you're going to redeem. And you're going to end
Perfect.
Up with an item you can sell for a lot of space bucks. So that's great.
Perfect.
That's about right.
Jared, I think we can both say that Ben is the closest thing that we have to somebody with legitimacy on this podcast.
Yeah, I think so, unfortunately.
Clearly.
Yes.
Ben is the glue that holds our team together. He makes sure he doesn't lose in the off lane.
Right.
And steals all my farm.
Right.
That I wasn't going to get anyway.
Exactly.
I tend to be, just to kind of set the record straight here too, Brian as our primary carry, he likes to disappear in the jungle. And so for what you guys don't know, you know, maybe people who are new to the game, that means that when we're engaging as a team, we usually have roughly four of us fighting a team of five. And we all, you know, you can see in the top, you know, the top part of the screen, we can see the red counter start to glow with a countdown. And then Brian's never shows up because he's in the jungle farming.
What do you mean by red countdown?
The countdowns, the numbers about how long you have to come back to life. Because you die. Because
we die. Oh, the respawn timer.
The respawn timer. So I tend to be the one who says, Brian, what the heck are you doing in the jungle? We need you in the team fights as well. So that's really where
we'll talk about that later when we talk about the match.
Yeah,
we'll talk about that later, buddy. We'll talk about that later. But yeah, so that's Ben.
Welcome to the internet, Ben.
So this is we like Dota, the casual Dota podcast for the rest of us.
Right, and we have degraded.
Emphasis on the casual. We're going off the rails here.
Thanks for
that. We're going off the rails. At least we have nice microphones.
Luckily, we sound like butter.
Yes.
So that's good.
So Jared, last week we talked about how we want to kind of talk about a hero on a weekly basis.
Right.
We thought about talking about the lore.
Mm-hmm.
But then we decided that reading lore for 10 minutes is really boring.
It's a little dry, unfortunately.
Yeah. So we're just going to generally talk about one hero a week. We're going to do, I'm going to kind of piggyback this with the quote unquote A to Z challenge.
Ooh, tell me about the A to Z challenge.
The A to Z challenge is a thing where you play through every hero.
Okay.
Beginning with A.
Oh.
And ending with Z, which I don't think there's a Z hero.
Zeus.
Oh, frick. Zeus. Yeah. Dang it, I got so much
that
to
was
learn.
Embarrassing.
That was embarrassing.
You have to play Meepo. That's really the...
Correct.
Yeah, you have to play Meepo four times for four Meepos.
For all the Meepos.
I'm not exactly sure what the rules are, but I think it involves getting at least four wins on every hero.
Okay, so it is four. Okay, so correct. You would play Meepo four times.
Correct.
So you'd have 16 Meepos.
So next week, I'm going to check
Meepo
in...
16 times.
Yes.
The hero of the week is Abaddon. Abaddon.
Abaddon.
Abaddon. And I'll check in next week on how that went. So I got to play.
What does that mean?
I'm going to do the A to Z challenge.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
I didn't explain
clarity.
That.
Okay.
I'm going to start
about like how this segment went.
I'm going to
like
start
you're just checking out. I'm out of here. You guys talk about it. Tell me how it went.
It went pretty well. So I'm going to do the A to Z challenge. And
okay.
So
in addition to every week, you're going to play the hero four times.
Right.
And then I'll talk about the lore.
Right.
And then we'll discuss.
I think what I'll do for next week is whoever we talk about next week.
Alchemist.
I was going to say Batrider. But we still have Ancient Apparition and Alchemist to get through.
Right. Hey, you remembered AA, so
yeah.
That's good.
So I think I'll try to do Alchemist for next week as well.
Okay.
So that when we're talking about this, I can talk about how it went.
Okay. And since I like to not play...
Right.
I will look at the lore and all the
right
the trivia and stuff
right.
like that.
Hey,
so perfect.
There's a place for you on our team.
Absolutely.
That's why you're our drafter.
Right.
Yeah. So, Jared, tell me about Abaddon, Abandon, Abaddon.
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 And
I can't say that right.
Here. Now, the only reason we know this is because he actually says his name.
I would like to hear that.
So give me a second here. I'll cue it up.
Yadneb would like to hear that.
Oh, that's not right. Wait, time out.
I'll give a Twitter shout out to anyone
Brian
who knows.
Stahl.
I'll give a Twitter shout out to anyone who knows what Yadneb is.
Abaddon.
See,
there it is.
I think it's
okay.
It's Abaddon.
Abaddon.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
great.
Basically, the background of his lore is he's part of this House of Avernus.
Perfect.
And basically, they kind of are. Their sole purpose in life is protecting this font, which I think is like a river.
Short for fountain.
Yeah, or fountain, yeah.
Sure.
So a body of water.
Right.
And when he was born, they saw that he was different.
Oh.
Because all these people are just warriors. And he meditated more and became one with the mist.
Ooh.
So,
which we'll talk about the mist later.
Oh, we will.
Yeah.
So basically, that's kind of the backstory. I mean, he's just different.
I recommend reading the lore.
For sure.
I like reading the lore. I think it's fun.
Interesting. It's interesting. Yeah. But the House of Avernus, Avernus actually, I found out, is actually a crater in Italy.
Okay.
Which in ancient times, they believed to be the gateway to the underworld.
Oh.
Right.
Slow week at work.
And. Yeah. Stop judging me. And Abaddon is actually an angel in the book of Revelations in the Bible.
Revelation. Yes.
Okay, whatever. And he came from the underworld and commanded an army of locusts.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Army of locusts. Weaver.
Yes.
I don't know. Weaver looks like a locust, kind
of. So, yeah, that's
army
kind
of weavers.
Yes.
An army of weavers.
Yeah, so that's kind of the little bit of the backstory and kind of some interesting notes about Abaddon.
So he's very misty.
Yeah, he's of the mist.
Jared, I remember a few months ago you were all about Abaddon.
Yeah.
Tell me how he fits into the general team composition.
I think, honestly, he's one of the most versatile characters in Dota.
Okay.
Because, one, his ability, Mist Coil, it can both heal and damage. So you can heal your allies, or you can damage your opponents.
Does that just depend on who you target?
Exactly.
Okay.
So you can't try to damage your own team or heal the other team.
Right.
Right.
You can't be that guy.
It does do damage to yourself, so it's always nice because then you can deny yourself.
Very easily.
So basically, then you're not giving the other team as much gold.
Right.
Which is always a good thing.
Always a good thing, yeah.
Always a good thing.
Which I believe up until recently, he actually, in the Dota 2 library, he wasn't listed as any particular role.
Right.
Usually people are listed out as like carry or jungler or pusher or support, you know, that kind of thing.
And he didn't have anything, which...
It's very ambiguous.
Yeah, it's like, well, what the hell do I do with him?
Yeah.
And I think it's because you can do anything with him.
Right.
He's very flexible.
Now he is listed as both a durable character,
yeah,
which makes perfect sense because his ultimate ability, basically, when he falls behind below a certain threshold of life, he starts glowing.
Yes.
And then the glowing actually will take the damage that he is receiving and give him life instead of death.
Which I did not know this. When the ultimate activates, he does glow.
Yes, he glows.
There was a match where Ben said, "Brian, stop hitting him. And I did.
Good job.
That's what you want. And I think that's important to bring up because I think the thing that a lot of new players run into is that they do keep hitting him.
Yeah.
And his life keeps getting, you know, larger. You get more and more life and then they get frustrated. So they try to hit him harder. And I think that's important.
I need to press Q harder.
Right. So when he's glowing.
Right click harder.
Yeah. So tip for playing against the guy. If he's glowing, stop hitting him.
Right.
That is the key.
Unless you're playing us.
Right.
Please hit the guy.
I think historically we've run him as a support / semi carry if he has a good lane.
Yeah.
Correct.
I think when I was playing him early, I was playing him as more of a farming carry. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Which
does he carry well? No.
If people don't know about his ultimate, yes.
Okay.
But if you're playing anybody that knows what to do against him, no.
You don't want to rely on him to be your primary damage dealer.
Right.
You know, because really what he can do is he's going to stick around in that fight for quite a while.
Yeah.
And so you're looking at him just basically being a distraction for people and being somebody who's kind of a pain. So you want him to do enough damage that he has to be considered.
Yeah.
But you don't want him to be the one you're relying on to kill everybody.
Let me ask you this. Do you run him as a core in your draft?
Personally, I would not.
Okay.
Not at this point.
Wow. Okay.
I would not.
So you'd run him as a support.
Yes.
So what kind of items are you looking to get on him?
An urn is always really nice for him.
Okay.
An Urn of Shadows.
What does the Urn of Shadows do?
Yeah, it has some charges,
right?
And you can put them on your allies to give them more health. Basically, mm-hmm. it'll regen with pulses,
right?
Or you can put them on enemies to damage them.
And I pulses. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the charges come from when a hero is killed.
Correct. It comes with a certain amount of charges. I think it's 4.
Okay.
To start with, but then yeah, every time a hero dies within a certain AoE, you get another charge.
Okay, great.
And, an enemy hero,
and that's on top of the typical courier and wards for a support.
Right. As well. Yeah, I think he's one of those people that can get by without items as well.
Okay.
Correct. Which is another reason why you run him as a support.
Okay.
So really, you want to, depending on what the team composition looks like,
yeah.
Because honestly, he can have, he's so versatile because, I mean, you can build anything on him and it's going to be perfect.
Okay.
Besides things that you're looking for mana regen, because he doesn't have a lot of mana problems.
Okay.
His spells are low cost. Mana cost.
Yeah.
They're super spammable.
Okay.
But you're not really going to run out of much mana.
Okay.
I personally, if you're going to run him more as like a core, more of like a farming person, the Ag Scepter, the Aghanim Scepter,
okay.
is a great item on him because it extends that time. His ultimate's called Borrowed Time,
okay.
which is kind of clever.
I see what they did there.
Right. Yeah, it extends it quite significantly. I don't remember it offhand. I think it's like an extra 7 or 8 seconds.
Okay.
So I think at level 16 with a Scepter, it's like a 15 or 16 second.
That's nice.
Yeah, where if they hit you at all, you're going to get health.
Right.
So you can just basically be going crazy on them for 16 seconds.
Yeah. And you can activate that on your own also, right?
Correct, yes.
So if you pop that in the middle of a team fight, a lot of people probably aren't going to notice right. what's going on.
Or if you're right in the middle of everything, they can't get away.
Right.
Or if you use that mist coil
yeah.
where it does damage to you yeah. and you pop that, you're going to get that extra.
Right.
You can build you can build that armlet where you're dealing damage to yourself. But then you're going to, in that borrowed time.
Oh, yeah, baby.
So that's another good option.
Okay.
So.
Let me ask you this. How viable do you think he is at maybe a skill level such as our own? And then in contrast to
which
that,
is really low.
Which is really bad.
Really low.
Really bad. We're awful. Versus maybe, you know, at the professional. Do you see, because you follow the esports scene. Do you see him in the esports scene? And then how does that contrast to where we're at with our skill level? And maybe where a lot of our listeners might be at.
I saw him picked competitively there was a couple months where he was like first pick, first ban all the time.
I think it was prior 6.79.
Right, 6.78. He was first pick, first ban a lot.
Yeah.
And I think it was because of his versatility.
Right. Similar to what you're seeing with Alchemist right now.
Yeah. Okay. You would pick him first and you don't know if he's a core or a support.
Right.
What they're doing.
Really, he doesn't mid well, which is the only other option.
Right.
But otherwise, yeah, I think that's one of the reasons you're seeing him competitively because he can be played in so many different ways.
Right.
And lineups, and he can fit into any lineup.
Right.
The only disadvantage he has really is that he is a melee character.
Right.
Honestly. At our skill level, I think that he is a great hero.
Mm. Okay.
Because of that borrowed time.
Yeah.
I think it helped me when I was getting started because I was pretty aggressive.
Yeah. Right.
And I think that allows
was.
You to...
Still are.
I've become less, which is really sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if I were to play a pro team, I'd be in a Korean team, is what you're saying.
But I think what you're saying is he's incredibly forgiving.
Right. Absolutely. Gameplay. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that his abilities are to that they can really help a player learn the game without feeding like crazy. So dying like crazy and giving that advantage to the
okay.
to the other team.
So yeah, go ahead and draft a Baden in your games and have a good time.
Yeah, and if you're playing all pick, just hit go.
Just hit random.
Right, he's the first pick.
Yeah, because he's the first A.
Right, right.
And that's a Baden.
And that's a Baden. Abandon.
So we're also going to play some of his sound.
Oh yeah,
because
let's get into it.
One of the things we did not talk about right now is he is voiced by a guy named.
TJ Hooker.
Incorrect. No. TJ something or other. But he's also the same gentleman that voiced Timbersaw.
Okay. Which we are big fans of Timbersaw.
Big fan of the Timbersaw voice.
Big fan of the Timbersaw.
Skywrath Mage.
Okay. Very Eastern European.
Yeah.
He is. He is.
No, he is.
He sounds like he's from like Ukraine or something. Shout out to the people in Ukraine right now.
Yeah,
by
absolutely.
The way.
Yeah.
Terrible time for those guys right now. I'm serious. Have you read the news?
No, I don't keep up on the news that's not esports related.
Perfect.
TJ Ramini.
Okay.
Ramini. You may know him from the hit movie Batman Begins.
Okay.
He was Crane Thug number one.
Knockout performance.
Yeah.
Did he get
an Oscar for that one? Did he get nominated? I think he got nominated, though.
Let me ask you this. Why is there not an Oscar for Extra of the Year?
They're working on it. They're working on it.
That needs to happen.
Are you sure it's not one of the ones that they do off screen?
Probably.
It might be one. They may be.
You don't even get dignified with the orchestra playing you off.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, TJ also did Bristleback was the fourth one that I couldn't think of offhand.
Okay.
So I'm just going to randomly play some
freaking Bristleback.
Some of these throughout the rest of the
We need the band Bristleback. Yeah.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Sure. We'll get that eventually, don't you worry.
Great.
Here, friends.
Oh,
that was nice. That was nice.
Let's get another one.
Okay.
We're playing this off an iPhone. So it's going great.
Yeah, it's been going really great.
To the fray.
They do some really cool stuff on his voice.
It's really like reverby and
yeah,
modulated. And
yeah, they did some really
to the foe.
Oh yeah,
yeah. They see, this is the kind of voice acting that I would like to do on a professional level.
Yeah,
for
sure.
I
think we should do a shout out to TJ. This is
shout cool. out to TJ. Thanks for voicing heroes that we like.
Yeah, TJ.
Thanks.
Submit.
What did he say? Secret.
Submit.
Oh, he's a little into it there.
Sure. Yeah.
Fly my steed.
Ooh. I like that one a lot.
Yeah, he rides around on like a sweet horse.
Yeah,
on a horsey.
And he's got a sword.
Sparkle pony.
I have a nice sword for him.
Okay.
That's really glowy.
I've got a cape that I got from Frostivus for him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is it glowy as well?
It's very glowy, and it's all like tattered and.
Yeah. He's of the mist.
He's a cool looking dude. I'm not gonna deny.
Yeah. Let's
that.
Let's put that out there.
He's a cool looking dude.
So, yeah, shout out to Abaddon.
Shout out to Abaddon.
And to TJ.
Yeah, TJ Hooker.
All right, so let's talk about our match of the week.
Sure
thing. First blood.
Perfect.
An offering worthy of the House of Avernus.
And there was the House of Avernus.
So Ben is part of the group that gets together to play Dota with those Wednesday nights.
Yeah.
And there was a historical moment that happened this past Wednesday night. We got all five of us together, and we did five stack... matchmaking together. It was incredible.
It was so much fun.
Emotions ran high, people fed, and we had a great time.
Mm-hmm. It got pretty heated.
Which we generally we like to just have a good time.
Yeah.
You know, winning is nice and we try to win and usually we don't, but we're just out there to have a good time, except for when I get really frustrated and I tend to get really pissy during matches.
You get a little pissy.
Yeah.
That's true.
Which is fine. I feel like since I at least realize it, that counts for something.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Half credit.
Yeah. Okay, so Jared, walk us through the lineup here. What
all right.
Did we do captain's draft?
We did captain's mode.
Captain's mode. So we had
the full hero pool that's available for...
Captain's mode.
Captain's mode.
This
right.
Pro level.
Yeah, this would be the pro level.
We're obviously pro level.
Yeah, obviously.
Which we've already talked about how much better captain's mode. Basically, anything but all pick is great.
It's so
because you avoid teams with like Ricky and Pudge and Bloodseeker all on one team.
Right.
You don't get those real cheesy drafts.
I'm gonna agree, except you want to at least be playing with a couple friends if you're gonna do it that way, though.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. No,
well.
I definitely would agree.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah, so our team, I don't remember the exact order offhand.
Yeah.
We'll do that more. We're going to actually go through the draft this week and go through it.
On
so.
YouTube. Oh, YouTube.com/user/WeLikeDota.
Yeah, so visit that
Join
if you're
there.
Interested in watching us cast a match.
There's a variety of places to listen to us.
Absolutely.
We'll get to that later.
Absolutely, we'll get there.
Yeah. So just kind of walk us through the team drafts.
Okay, so we drafted... Alchemist,
mm-hmm.
Wind Ranger, or Wind Ginger.
Yes.
Queen of Pain.
Quap.
Yes. Luna.
Okay.
And Dragon Knight.
Okay.
And we were playing against a Lion, Razor, Drow, Tiny, and Tidehunter.
That's a fair draft as well.
Yeah, no, I really, honestly, I liked their draft as well.
Yeah.
I think that both of them, they were pretty even going in. I think that they didn't have as much damage as we had. Tiny can do a ton of damage if he gets enough.
He just doesn't do it quickly.
No, you really have to farm him up.
Yeah.
Drow, if you stand next to her, she does nothing.
Right.
So, for those that don't know, she has her ultimate ability. She gains a lot of agility.
Right.
So that really helps her move speed or her attack speed and damage because she's an agility based hero.
Right.
But if you stand next to her, it goes away.
It goes away. Yeah.
Right. So get up in her face next time you play her and it'll be easy to kill her.
Yes.
And then Razor is, he can get really tanky.
We've talked about it before. He's the carry counter pick.
Right.
If you want to shut down a carry, you pick Razor.
Right. But he doesn't do enough sustainable damage, I think.
Yeah. I feel like Razor is always really, really good in like the early and mid game.
Right. He falls off about 25, 30 minutes in.
Because he's got Static Link.
Right.
And he's got Plasma Field, which is really good.
Right.
But I got to say, I've had many games where I've had Razor who has just been fed in the early game or has just played really well in the early game. And any hero will do great in the late game if that happens.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. If he has a Desolator,
a
Daedalus, a Heart, he's going to be fine.
Yeah. He's going to do really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
But it looks like maybe they don't have as many late game options as we do, if I'm looking at that. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah. So really they have those three cores.
Yeah.
They have the Drow, Tiny, Razor core.
But more so Tiny and Drow is where their damage is coming from.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So really they're looking at more like a two core.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, you can definitely win games like that.
We'll say 2.5 core.
Yeah. Yeah.
Razor's no slouch.
No. No.
I don't want to discredit Razor. I like Razor.
I like Razor too.
Yeah.
But I feel like just we had a little bit more sustainable damage and damage over time.
Who'd we have
and
again?
Team fight competition.
Composition.
Composition, thank you. We had DK, Luna, Quap, Queen of Pain.
Yeah.
Wind Ranger and Alchemist.
Okay. And we ran the Alchemist as a support.
Correct.
We ran the Wind Ranger and the Alchemist as support, and then
Luna, both of them can semi carry.
Yeah. Oh, right. Absolutely. Luna was our hard carry.
Yes.
Quap was our middle and also our kind of secondary carry.
Right.
And then DK was our off laner.
Right.
And also carry. He carries.
He carries.
Yeah.
He does some damage if you give him some farm.
When he's in dragon form, he carries.
Right. Yeah, and he pushes towers pretty early, which is one of the reasons I wanted him.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, so I think it went really well for us. I distinctly remember feeding really hard in the early game.
You did.
You had a rough game.
I had a rough game, because I was against Razor to begin with in the safe lane. And then Ben was kind enough to say, hey, Brian, we should probably rotate.
Right.
And we rotated, and I still had a pretty hard time.
You did.
Because I felt like I was getting zoned out by Drow, because the guy playing, God bless him, the guy playing our Wind Ranger doesn't really know how to harass very well as a range support.
Putting it out there, that's hard to do.
It's hard to do.
It is. I don't think I do that well.
You play a lot of melee supports.
Which I do.
It's way easier to do as a ranged support.
Right. No, that's true.
Yeah. And the same, you know, thing being said, I think it's important that we mention that he did get win number two and win number three,
which is really important. Yeah.
He tends to be the least consistent of our 5-man group, and so the fact that we got him two wins that night was a pretty big deal. I mean, I think he gets props for that.
I remember we just decided to just group up. And as Luna, I was a part of a couple big team fights. And once I got Eclipse, I got a couple of kills, and I just took off.
You really made
that
up. Our ending levels on our team, DK was 18, Quap was 22, which that was played by our friend CJ Connery.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who's easily our best player.
And a League of Legends player.
Well, yes.
We're not going to bring that up.
You don't say that.
Windrunner was 16, Alchemist 18, and you made it back. Do you remember how high you got?
I don't.
20.
Okay.
You made it to 20.
Okay, there we go.
So
that's fair.
So for being shut down, like you said, pretty early.
I was shut down pretty hard.
You made up some room, man.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, so I feel like that was a really good draft. We had good damage, good push potential, because you get the Dragon Knight and the Dragon Form, and then you get Mana Style on Luna, and stuff just falls like crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was a good match.
You had boots to travel in that game?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, well, I had Power Treads initially, and then in the late game, I disassembled them and went for the, I sold them and went for the Power Treads.
Good for you.
That's fair.
Or for the Boots of Travel.
Yeah.
For the farm.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Because you can go wherever your creeps are.
Right.
Yeah, you did not communicate that during the game really whatsoever. Well. We had no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really funny.
I'm really good at AFK farming.
That's
your specialty.
It's very evident.
It's true.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but anyway, any closing thoughts, gentlemen?
Oh, first off, Chris had a Scythe of Ice, Orchid, and Ags.
That's pretty good.
That's nuts.
That's pretty good.
That's a lot of farm.
Yeah.
Pretty fed.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, anyway. So if you're interested in actually watching this match unfold, we're going to cast it directly after this. It'll be uploaded to our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And as always, this is a game that we won.
Yeah. For journalistic integrity.
100%
we only cast matches we win.
Integrity, yeah. So if we ever go a week without having one, you know we had a bad week.
Hey, Jared, you bought a Chromecast recently, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we won't.
Can we just give a quick shout out to Amazon for what they did for you?
For sure. So basically, what happened was, like anything, when you purchase something online, you never open up the email.
Right.
And look at where it's actually shipping.
Right.
Until you get that shipping notification, and then you're totally screwed. So I contacted them directly after I figured out that it was shipping to the wrong address, which it was a friend's address that I'd shipped to prior.
You sent them a pretty strongly worded email, from what I remember.
I did.
I was actually surprised by the pair of cojones that you had.
I was upset. Well, okay, first off, I sent...
He's getting really defensive here.
I sent one email asking if they could change it, and they gave me a very form-fitting letter saying our policy is that we do not change a shipping address after shipping,
right?
Which I think is total horseshit. I'm sorry.
That's bullcrap. Family friendly here, but it's total horseshit.
It is. After working in logistics for 6 months, I know that you can do things.
Yeah.
And let's be honest here, Amazon pretty much owns the USPS.
Absolutely.
So
they're keeping them in business. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, honestly, really, I know.
Really?
I
Seriously.
Know. Really? Okay. So I was pretty PO'd. Because they basically said, hey, if it's the wrong address, they'll send it back. Yeah, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I send them a very strong, like you said, email.
Strongly worded email.
Which I don't think it was that strongly
worded. It was very passive aggressive strong.
I'm great at that.
Yeah.
Hats
off to you.
Thank you. But afterward, I saw that it had been delivered and nothing had happened. So I sent them another email. I copied and pasted like what they said was going to be the resolution, which was, this person's going to send it back, which didn't happen.
Right.
I'm like, so what are you going to do for me now?
I wouldn't because, send back a Chromecast.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't
either.
Those
things are sweet.
Yeah. So basically I said, you know, what are you going to do for me? What is your plan of action since you were unable to service me to my satisfaction?
Right.
And they said, hey, we're going to put one in the mail for you tomorrow. No, or tonight. You'll have it tomorrow. No charge. Free of everything.
That's pretty awesome.
I was really impressed.
That's pretty awesome.
Because I was really thinking during this whole thing that Amazon's just turning into the Walmart of the internet.
No, you don't want that.
No, honestly, because I was
There's an old person that greets you when you go to Amazon.com.
Welcome to Amazon.com. Seriously, I honestly felt that way, like with their customer service originally. So I sent another, you know, very kind email afterwards.
Kind with air quotes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So... shout out to Amazon.com.
Shout out to Amazon.
Yeah.
They do have good customer service. I've had good experiences.
Yeah.
As have I. Love Amazon. I'm an Amazon Prime subscriber.
Right. And I am too.
Yeah. Through Lonnie.
Thanks, Lonnie.
But yeah, as Jared said earlier, we're going to do a cast a match of us playing poorly. We're going to mast a catch of us playing poorly directly after this. You can find that at youtube.com/user/WeLikeDota.
I believe so. I do believe just use the search term We Like Dota one word, you will find us.
I don't know. If you go to WeLikeDota.com, you'll find it there.
Yeah.
And go to WeLikeDota.com for all the subscription links and our Twitters and links to everything. Just to clear up some confusion, on YouTube, I post the audio of of this podcast and the video of the match that we do.
Okay.
And then also, we have a separate RSS feed of just the audio of the podcast for those of you who are, you know, listening on mobile devices, or, you know, you want to listen to us on iTunes or, you
right.
know, whatever.
They have the normal podcasting ways.
Basically, wherever you want to listen to us,
we're going to let you.
We're like George Costanza. You can't get rid of us. Costanza.
Perfect.
Jared, where can we find you online?
You can find me specifically normally at Twitter. That's probably your best bet.
Yeah.
And I'm found in the handle +3000. That's yes. +3000.
Correct.
And how about yourself, Brian?
You can find me on Twitter at byinger, BYINGER. And I just want to give a quick shout out to just to everyone who has sent us feedback.
Yeah.
We have not heard a single negative thing yet, Jared.
Wow. On the internet.
Which
You're
is insane.
Wow.
We were called Noob Lords, which I take as a compliment.
That's so
I'm in for that.
I take that as a compliment.
Yeah. Absolutely. We're even posting things on Reddit and we're not getting flamed?
We're on Reddit. Oh. Right. Everything's
this is
coming
up. Unreal. This is unreal.
Yeah, so
give it time.
In particular, on Twitter, user Zackleby,
let's be honest, you confirmed that's how it's pronounced,
right?
Which in a creepy way. Explain how you figured out that's how you say that.
I looked at his tweets, which were public.
Figure out how to pronounce.
And
the
he
guy's
said
name.
That it's Zackleby.
Yeah. Sure.
He says, "Hey guys, I appreciate the podcast. The others were pretty daunting." Which is correct.
Yeah, no, that's exactly. That's the market we're looking for. This is exactly what we're trying to do. We're trying to have an approachable podcast for Dota.
Right.
Because we really like the game.
We really like the game, but we're really bad at it.
Right. And we like talking to each other.
Yes.
So why not have other people enjoy us talking to each other about something that we like?
Right. And you like hearing your own voices afterwards.
Why am I wearing headphones with my own voice blaring in them right now?
We sound so great in these
headphones. We sound so good.
But we also have a listener in Thailand, which is great.
Wow. That's nuts.
But yeah, we've just had a lot of people who have said that they appreciate the podcast. And
yeah, well,
man, I just really want to say thanks yeah. for the comments and the compliments, everybody.
Tell some friends.
Tell some friends about the show. What'll really help us out a lot is if you see the thread on Reddit,
upvote us.
Upvote that sucker.
Yeah.
You need the karma. We need the karma.
Absolutely.
Ben, where can we find you online? If you want to disclose that information.
Yeah. I just about 5 minutes ago created a Twitter account.
Okay.
So you can find me at Dota Yadneb.
Okay.
I currently have 0 followers and I'm trying to follow byinger and +3000, but they have not allowed me to do that. So
yeah.
So you can follow me at Dota Yadneb and you'll see I have a lot of activity on there.
Great. Wonderful. Thanks for that, Ben. Ben, we're happy that you're here.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Hopefully we'll have you back for another episode. Any other closing words, gentlemen? Okay, great.
I don't believe so, no.
All right, that brings us to the end of the program. Thanks for listening. Upvote us on Reddit, and thanks for the feedback, guys. We'll see you next week.